Romans chapter 9, verse 21. Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and to another unto dishonor? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your goodness and thank you for all your blessings. Lord, we pray tonight that we're helped from the scripture. Lord, we pray and ask that you bless this people. Thank you for their faithfulness. Thank you for what they're doing here in the school and the church and the bus routes and trying to reach souls. Lord, I pray that you'll help them and encourage them to keep on keeping on. We thank you for your goodness and all your blessings. We ask you to bless in Jesus' precious name. Amen. A vessel. He is the potter. You know, I go to my cabinet and I get out a coffee cup. I drink a cup of coffee every morning. And I get that coffee cup out. And that cup has never said, you're not taking me. You're not putting your lips around me. I'm staying in this cabinet. No, that cup doesn't say anything. It doesn't say anything. And so I grab that cup out and I put my coffee in it. It doesn't say it's too hot. It doesn't say anything. I just use that cup. Well, God wants to use us. Amen. You are a vessel that God wants to use. You know, a vessel is very valuable. A Coca-Cola company, they had closed some bottles that were half full. And they're selling on eBay right now for $1,500. I think that's valuable. Well, you think about what a soul is worth. It's worth the value of the wealth of the whole world. It's worth the value that Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary for that soul. I am valuable, amen. I am worth something. You know, I am a vessel that God can use. I am that vessel. Are you a vessel that God can use? That is the question tonight. God made us. I'm telling you what, when I was a kid, I wanted to play some basketball. Well, I am short. I am fat. I was short and fat then. I honestly hung upside down by my feet and tied weights around myself to stretch myself. I did not know the verse in the Bible, you can't add one cubic to your stature. I tried it. I guess there's an operation that can break your legs and put pins in and make you taller. But anyway, I'm not going that route now, especially. God made me the way I am. We're all different. Amen. And you probably say amen, but God can use us. God can use all of us. I'm glad that he cares about us. Amen. We're worth something. Cast your cares on him. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. You know, the Bible says we have this treasure in an earthen vessel, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We have something down inside of us. It is the Holy Spirit. It is God inside of us. And we are a valuable vessel to God. A little boy said to someone that was up at the front of the church and said, God made the whole universe and God is big. And how amazing is that? And the little boy said, well, if all that's true and God's inside of me, he ought to stick out everywhere. He ought to stick out everywhere. God ought to just shine. You know, you take those little candles and you put them in a little clay pot. And you put that little candle so you can let it shine in the house and something pretty and also smells good. Amen. I have one message. It's a unique message from the Old Testament. And it's called, What Do You Smell Like? I wanted to preach it, but God wouldn't let me. What do you smell like? And I say that because they could only make a certain incense. It couldn't be made anywhere else but in God's house. Think about it. You only smelled that way when you were at God's house. And we only act and look a certain way when we go to God's house. Amen. And God help us to be there when we can. God help us to be the vessel. God help us to be used of him. I asked Brother Ross a moment ago, I said, you know, Brother Fred Ball, some of you might, and he was an evangelist, and he actually had the camp, and I've driven him around some and so forth. But anyway, he went to Bible college and could not read. Think about it, it's pretty amazing. Everybody helped him and tried to teach him to read, and so he came out being able to read some. But God used that man. He was a vessel that God used, and he would scare people to death. Now, because of his inability, because of who he was, and he had a hard time reading, he'd be preaching, walk down the aisle and stop and said, "Read that verse right there. Oh, read that verse right there." Scare people to death. And they would keep him. But he had a disability, if you would, and he'd say, "Read that verse right there." He'd come down and read that verse right there. That one right there. And God used that. God can use any of us. Amen. There was a Bible, a fellow went to Bible School Institute, actually, and he couldn't make it through because he couldn't read. And they were out in the jungle, and some of his professors went out there. They were doing ministry and went out there, and they heard this same guy. He was preaching. So people were getting saved, and so they're like, "Oh my goodness, listen to him. He's preaching. He's reading these verses and all that." And they go up to him, and they said, "We didn't think you could read." And he said, "I can. I memorized all of it." God can use you no matter who you are. Amen. We all have a different thumbprint, a fingerprint. We're all different. Each one of us are different. But I want to tell you tonight, God can use you. We need to be a witness to someone. And God help us. You know, you think about the woman at the well. You think about Jesus recognized every problem in her life, every marriage, every relationship. He knew that she needed something. He told her everything she did. He was a water of life. She goes back to town, and they all come out to see for themselves who this Jesus is. And the disciples, they really couldn't see what Jesus saw. God help us to open up our eyes and see some things. Like Jesus told the disciples, he said, "Say not ye, there yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look upon the fields, for they are white already to harvest." We're living in a hard time. We're living in a bad time. But I want to tell you what, God's still on the throne. What kind of vessel are you going to be? Are you a happy Christian? Do you have a good attitude no matter where you are? You say, "Well, preacher, it's pretty bad." I think about the apostle. He was stoned. A couple other things happened to him if you read the scripture. They probably went over there. Yep, he's dead. He's gone. Someone might say, "Brother Paul, how'd you get that big knot on your head?" "Well, they tried to stone me." Someone says something to us, we're like, "Oh man, I don't know. I don't know. What kind of vessel are we?" "Say not ye either, yet 4 months." There are some broken vessels. Boy, you can sure get in trouble breaking something you're not supposed to. I mean, you can, guys, you can get in some trouble, amen? Big trouble. You know, I'm talking about a person's life, they're broken. But I know someone that can put a life back together again. Dr. Jesus can put a life back together again. Boy, I couldn't do that. I couldn't do that. Broken vessels. Sometimes I see a person with ink all over them, tattoos. You know, and it's a terrible thing, but you have to recognize that their life has been in ruin and different things. You look at a person's life and they have all these things. They have these markings. Well, you know, it might be they're broken. It might be that they need Jesus Christ as their Savior. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And God help us. What kind of vessel am I? What kind of vessel? You say, "Well, I'm not anybody. I can't do anything." Well, I want to tell you about a little maid. You remember the little maid over in the Old Testament in 2 Kings chapter 5? Let me just give you some things about the little maid. And the Syrians, in chapter 5, verse 2, had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, for she's captive.
Right.
She's a captive.
Yeah.
A captive in bondage. You know, we have a lot of freedom in America, and God help us that we don't have to fight for our freedom. But she is in captivity. She's waiting on Naaman's wife. You think about it. You think about her surprise as she sees her husband. Oh my goodness, he's a leper. I wonder if she had to get some of his rags ready so he could put them on. I wonder what things and what shock she may have seen. She may have seen leprosy before. But leprosy is a terrible thing. It's contagious. And it will eat away your flesh. And you think about what she saw. But you know, she was brave. She was a helpful servant. Here she was in bondage, and she was helpful. I wonder, no matter where we work, wherever we are, can you be a vessel that is helpful? Can you, where you work, listen, you may work in the worst place in the world, but can you be helpful?
Right.
One place I worked, people would cuss, and they would, you know, all those kind of things. But when they come up to me, they couldn't even talk sometimes. I had on my bump pad, I said, "That's not God's last name." And they'd be like, "I'll be back."
Right.
What kind of vessel are you? A vessel. And some of those people, after 25 years, I'm still doing the funerals and witnessing to their families.
Right.
What kind of vessel are you? Listen, my wife and I, we've had a teenager show up at our doorstep wanting to stay in our home. Happened several times. We've kept young people in our home, and we've worked with youth, and some of those youth that we had are still like our children. They're still like part of our family, and it's an amazing thing. You know, what we try to do is be helpful and pray for them and help them in life and encourage them. What kind of vessel are you? Listen, she was in captivity. She was a servant. You know what she would say? She remembered the power of God of Israel. The Bible says in Psalm 37, verse 3, "Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy ways unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass." Not every one of us is the same. We're not the same. We're in different places. We have different families. We have different connections to people. And God help us to trust God wherever we're at. I imagine that some of you wanted to be the president of the United States when you was a kid. You wanted to be a fireman, fire chief. You wanted to be a policeman when you was a young person. And all those things sometimes change. Not saying that you've not been that, but some of those things change. We found a place in life, but I tell you what, wherever we are, we need to be serving God. Listen, there's a little maid who knew the power of God and what God can do. Listen, do we know the power of God in our life? 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 3, "And she said unto her mistress, Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. And one went in and told his Lord, saying, Thus and thus said the maid, that is of the land of Israel." Well, it's pretty amazing what we say. Someone might hold on to those words that we're talking about. Listen, we're living in a sad time in America. We're full of materialism, all kinds of things. There's a lot of countries that have collapsed. When we get to the stage that we are in our country with morals has gone downhill and all those things, and God help us. And someone might hold on to some words that we say. Well, what is in your cup that's running over? Is it things about Christ? Is it living for Him? Listen, we may go through difficulties, we may see some problems, but what are we reflecting in our life? Are we reflecting the S-O-N? Are we reflecting Jesus in our life? She remembered the God of Israel and what He could do. In verse 7, the Bible says, "And it came to pass when the king of Israel had read the letter that he rent his clothes, sent a letter to the king and said, Am I God to kill and to make another alive? that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me." The king is like, "Boy, I don't know what to do about this." I tell you what, the government's not the answer to our problems. God is the answer to our problems. God is the answer to your problems. God is the one that can heal you. God is the one that can help you. God is the one that can use you as a vessel, however he makes you. Listen, you can hang upside down in a tree all you want. You won't grow an inch. God's made you just like you are. God wants to use you. God wants to put some things together in your life. God wants to help you. No matter what you went through, what you faced, our God wants to help you. And when the prophet heard about it, he's going to take care of it. Amen. So, "Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes?" He says, "Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came in verse 9 with his horses and with his chariots and stood at the door of the house of Elijah. He thought, you know, the world thinks different than what God thinks. Amen. He thought he'd come out and do all kinds of things. "No, just go wash. Just go wash. Just come to Calvary. Be washed by the blood of Jesus Christ and be saved. Just come to Calvary." But that was too good. That was too easy for him. He wanted some big spectacular thing. Well, the world's looking for some spectacular thing, and it's already given in God's word what we're to do. We're to come to Christ. He said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." It's only through Jesus Christ. His servants came near and spake unto him and said, "My father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then when he saith to thee, 'Wash and be clean.'" Then he went down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. But she was just a little maid. She was, in the eyes of a lot of people, nothing. She was just a servant, but she had something to say about God and about God's house, about the prophet Israel. You know, the preacher's not going to get everybody to church. He grabs one side of the bed. What's good if some other people can grab another corner and encourage that person to come to Christ? No matter what it is. Listen, you're a vessel that God can use to bring someone else to the Lord Jesus Christ. These are examples of vessels that God uses. Listen, he used Boaz. Don't you love the book of Ruth? Boy, we could spend some time here, amen. The book of Ruth, how amazing is it? A vessel of God's grace through Boaz. It is an amazing book. In Ruth chapter 1 and verse 1, the Bible says, "Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judea, went to sojourn." Let's stay just a little while. We're going to go down there a little while. We're going to stay just a little while and then we're going to come back. We're going to stay just a little while and things get better. We're going to come back. But they ended up staying for a while. The boys, Mary Boabitis, they did something that wasn't supposed to be done. And here they are in Moab, and his two sons, and her husband dies. It's amazing. Sometimes in life, we make mistakes. Sometimes in life, we do things that we shouldn't do. We do that. You bought that brand new car. You're like, "I wish I hadn't have done that." Those payments. Oh, well, some of you guys, the four-wheel drive truck.
Come on, man.
Said, "Boy, I wish I hadn't have done that." That's 6 or 7 years now. And we're like, "Man, I shouldn't have done that." They went down there and they're like, "We probably shouldn't have done this." They lost some things, but isn't God's grace good? We make a mistake in life, but God is good. God, who is full of grace, he can bring you back to the place that you need to be. Ruth said, "Don't encourage me to go back. Don't encourage me to go back. I want to serve the living God. I've seen something in you. I've seen something in your family. I've heard about Bethlehem, Judea. I've heard about some things. Don't encourage me to go back. You got a spark of something wonderful down inside in your family and your people. She said in verse 16 of chapter 1, and Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me." And she went in chapter 2 and verse 3 and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers in her hap. I like this. Her hap. H-A-P. Boy, God's working. It's working some circumstances. Doing some things. It was to light on the part of the field belonging to Boaz. Boy, God's mercy. God put some things in your life to bring you to salvation. Amen. God put some things in your life to help you come to Christ. I like to call them blocks in the road. Some warning signals. You're going the wrong way. Hey, God wants to deliver you from some things. God wants to save you. I'm glad for His salvation tonight. Amen. I'm glad for what God's reached down and done and His mercy and His grace. I'm glad for that. Her hap. God worked it out. Part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. In verse 4, the Bible says in chapter 2, "And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, 'The Lord be with you.' And they answered him, 'The Lord bless thee.' Then said Boaz unto the servant that was set over the reapers, 'Who is this? Whose damsel is this?'" In verse 6, the Bible says, "And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, 'It is a Moabitess damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and hath continued,'" listen to this now, "'even from the morning unto now, that she tarried a little in the house.'" A lot there. A lot there about character that she has. A lot going on there. You see her ethic. "Even from the morning until now, she was willing to work." Well, I'll tell you what, some people are not willing to work in this day and age we live in. Sometimes I get so upset, I want to grab people by the collar and shake them. I'm like, what's wrong with you? I know a teenage boy right now that in 3 years has logged on a game that would take you a 24-hour day for a whole year in 3 years. Think about it. Where's he putting his time? And God help us, amen? I'm not against a game once in a while, but I'm telling you what, our young people have been sucked up by some of those things. And God help us, amen? And God help you if you're an adult and you're doing that. Amen. God help you. Then verse 10 of chapter 2, "Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, 'Why have I found grace in thy eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I'm a stranger?' And Boaz, he answers in verse 11 and said unto her, 'It hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thy husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not hitherto.'" She left home. What did she do? To help someone else. Think about it. She left home to help someone else. What kind of vessel are you? Are you willing to help someone else? What kind of vessel are you that God can use? Are you willing to help someone else? In chapter 2 and verse 20, "And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, 'Blessed be he of the Lord, who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead.' And Naomi said unto her, 'The man is near of kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen.'" Boy, it's close to kin. He can do something. He can do something. Of course, there's one nearer. he wanted, the other guy wanted all the land and all the stuff and said, you have to take the Moabitess. He's like, oh no, I don't want her. Boy, some of the things and their customs was a little strange. If your husband died, you had to be married to the brother. I tell you what, ladies, you'd want your brother-in-laws to be good looking, amen? Nice, right? Wow. You remember they asked Jesus the question, whose wife will she be in glory? But they're a near kinsman. Take the Moabitess. It makes me and begs the question, why would Boaz have this kind of grace? I wonder if you know. I wonder if you know who Boaz's mom and dad is. Some of you shaking your head, you know. Solomon and Rahab the harlot. He had seen some grace from his parents. Shown some grace and kindness from his life. I wonder if we could show some kindness and grace. If we would be that kind of vessel that God can use. The grace of God is so amazing. Can you be a vessel? She was willing to work. She was willing to help someone else. Sometimes in this life, people are so selfish. They can't help someone else. She was still willing to leave her family and go help someone else. Leave her home. Oh my goodness, story after story in the Bible where God wants to speak to our hearts. Mordecai takes in as a daughter Esther. Whew, it's good stuff. The grace of God. The grace of God. In chapter 4 of the book of Esther, also he gave him the copy of the writing of the decree that was given at Shushan to destroy them, to show it unto Esther, and to declare it unto her, and to charge her that she should go in unto the king to make supplication unto him, and to make requests before him for her people. She was challenged. So in verse 10, the Bible says, and Esther spake unto Hattach and gave him commandment unto Mordecai. And the kings and servants and all the people of the king's province do know that whosoever, whether man or woman, shall come in unto the king to the inner court who is not called, there is one law of to put him to death except such to whom the king shall hold out the golden scepter. Well, he's already had some problems and she goes in. But Mordecai gave her some words. Don't you think you'll escape this? Don't you think you'll escape this? You're here for such a time as this. I want to tell you tonight, folks, we're here for such a time as this. We're here for this time. I think about, of course, the potter and the clay. I think about Jeremiah. Your preacher last year preached on Jeremiah and going down to the potter's wheel. I don't know if you've ever done that, made a piece of pottery on a wheel. I've done that in high school in art class. I got to do that. But I made a whole bunch of pinch pots. I don't know if you know what that is. You just take a slab of clay and you pinch it together and make tops. My mom still has some of those, the ugliest thing you ever seen. But anyway, she still has that. But I made a little vessel and she thinks it's neat and all that. As long as she does, I don't think I'll keep it after she's gone. But anyway, it's pretty ugly, but I got to do some of those things. But it collapses in his hand. And the potter's able to mold it again. God can mold you again. God can take some things in your life and mold you and make you. I'm glad for what God can do in our life. We are a vessel that God wants to use. Actually, from our text, the book of Romans, boy, I like Romans chapter 8. God is for us. When we don't even know what to pray, the Holy Spirit makes intercession for us in chapter 8. God is for us. He gave His Son to die on the cross of Calvary. And Jesus Christ is for us. The apostle said, I'm persuaded, neither life nor death, And he goes on to say, angels, principalities, nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Nothing can separate us from God. Then he go into chapter 9. He says, I wish that I could die, that people might be saved. It's amazing in this chapter. The little separation from the last chapter to this chapter in Romans chapter 9. And you see what's taking place here. Actually, there's some hard things here. I understand it. How God hardens the heart talks about Pharaoh in this chapter. And I was looking at this, and I think I found the answer about hardening the heart. I'm going to go back and check it out fully. But Pharaoh hardened his heart. In other words, he said, I'm not going to let the people go. I'm not going to do that. So what God did was agree with Pharaoh. We sort of mistaken that. I'm going to go back and search that out a little bit more, but that's another thought. You think about some of those things. So if people harden their heart toward God and say, I don't want anything to do with it, it might be that God will say, okay. It might be that a Christian will harden their heart and say, I'm not going to do any of those things. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to serve Him. I'm not going to be like that little maid. I'm having difficult circumstances. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to live for Him. Jeremiah, of course, he's preaching, has a great message as you go through the book and so forth. One place he takes a piece of pottery, he goes out there and he busts it, casts it down. The prophets wouldn't listen to him and his message. They wanted to put a little Band-Aid over it. That's what we want to do today in America. We just want to put a little Band-Aid on things. That's what happened in the book of Jeremiah. No one wanted to listen to Jeremiah and what he was saying. There's a lot of kings. One king was there for 3 months and different things. Some kings got their names changed. I'd have to write them all down and look at them to remember almost any of them. But it's pretty amazing what God does through Jeremiah. And then he's put down in a pit,
right,
in mud for preaching the truth. Boy, God help us to be a vessel to hold up the truth. Maybe there might be someone around us that wants to hear the gospel. Maybe there's someone around us who wants to hear the truth. I'm glad for what God does. I'm glad that God put Rahab in the king line listed in the book of Matthew. How amazing is that? God's put us in the king line. Gentiles. God reached down and saved us. How wonderful that is. The apostle in Romans chapter 9 is trying to get them to see how God loves us. God's concerned about us. God's not willing that any should perish. Mary was a vessel that God used. She was a willing vessel. Not going into all that, but I wonder if you're a vessel that God can use. I wonder if you're a vessel that God can use. I have a few examples, one from the Bible, that did not want God to use them as a vessel. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed." Here is a vessel. He made a choice that I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to serve God. He is departed. God help us to keep on serving. God help us to do whatever God asked us to do. Remember I said in the beginning, Brother Fred Vaught couldn't read very well. Read that verse right there. Scare people to death. And God used that. Listen, God can use you, whoever you are. God can use you, whatever place you're in. God can use you on the bus route. God can use you in the school. God can use you if you just clean out the bathrooms.
Yes, sir.
God can use you. Well, if your job was to clean out the bathroom, you ought to do it happily. If you want to know, I got some tricks. Clean out the bathroom. Get you a garden sprayer. Put your chemicals in there and pump it up. Walk in there. I got this, people. Woo, glory. I'm mopping her down. That'll help you. Ooh, I'm cleaning the bathroom. I got this. You got that done in 10 minutes? Yeah. Amen. Garden sprayer. It works for a lot of stuff. It's good. Amen. I like it. Demas hath forsaken me. I know a preacher in Alabama. In fact, he talked to my mom today. I talked to her. And at one time, God was calling to preach. He said, no, I'm not going to preach. No, I'm not going to preach. I'm not going to do that. He was driving down the road and had an automobile accident. He ended up in the hospital. Couldn't move. Looked straight up. He said, God, if you get me out of here, I'll preach. But he goes through life in pain every day. Back pain, neck pain. Because he would not surrender to God. He wouldn't be a vessel that carried the Word of God. He wouldn't be a vessel to preach. Are you a willing vessel? Say, I'm nobody. Hey, we just read about a little maid. What about it? The story I'd like to end with is about my cousin. It's really a terrible story. I was praying for him and different things. In fact, we were in a Sunday school room and one of the young people were there. And his name was Mike Morgan. And we were both sitting there and I said, hey, we need to pray for Tony. You know, he's out of God's will and he's running from God. I said, I don't even know if he's really saved and all that. We were talking about it and we was getting ready to pray. And I look over to Mike and he's sobbing. I'm like, what's wrong with you? He said, I don't know if I'm saved. So he got saved right there. But my cousin, my wife can tell you this also. We went to his funeral. But the reason he died, I believe for sure he was running from God. Now, we lived on the mountain. I'm a hillbilly. I'm sorry. I'm trying to learn English. Getting a little better. We lived on the mountain, and what you wanted was a stick shift. You wanted a good car. My mom, the mountain was 5 miles long. My mom blew up a car because she putted around. You just don't put around. Little four-cylinder Datsun. They said, well, you gotta get on it, blow the soot out of it, and drive it a little bit. You can't put up and down the mountain. So she had to have her engine rebuilt. So we kind of drove fast, and I still have that habit. Sorry. Confession's good for the soul. One time I had a Ford and had a Windsor motor in it. It was a station wagon. Had a 351 Cleveland points, all that, and I was playing around with it, adjusting it. And I backed it out of the driveway and squealed the tires, you know. The neighbor said, that's not what a preacher does. And I'm like, I thought everybody did that stuff. But anyway, where I was from, that's what everybody did. My uncle was a mechanic, and he had four carburetors on a four-cylinder Datsun motor and Willy bars on the back. Datsun. And we hot rodded. And so my wife gets on to me all the time. By the way, we was running down 50 south of Spencer, and we're in the green station wagon. All the kids call it the pickle. And it idled at 70. Honestly, it idled at 70. So you'd have to. So we're going down the road singing and just having a good old time. And of course, blue, blue, blue. He said, what are you doing? I said, well, we're singing and having a good time, and I wasn't paying any attention. He said, well, slow down and be careful and have a good day. We were just having a good time. It was just idling. And then you think about my cousin. So I told you all that to tell you this. He had nitro going into his engine. Push a button. And so it would get a boost. Kept doing that. In fact, It was so bad, my great uncle actually knew that he was going to get in trouble, so he took out an extra insurance policy on, no joke. Going up and down the mountain, boosting that engine. He's running from God and had a child out of wedlock and different things, just running from God, just doing all kinds of things. And one night, he's coming out of Chattanooga and around the river or the bend. Before he gets to the bend, he punches that button. He didn't know it, but flames was coming out of the bottom of the car. It was already on fire. He passed a semi driver. The semi driver says going well over 100. It caught on fire and hit the embankment, a rock embankment, and the rails, and burst into flames. Basically, they said they had to wash my cousin out with a water hose. Here's a young man running from God because he didn't want to be a vessel that God could use. His wife laid on the casket and screamed and cried because a young man would not surrender to God. Listen, I know it's hard. Jeremiah had a hard time. It's still God's calling. Jeremiah said, I'm not going to say anything. I'm not going to speak one more word. I'm not going to say anything. But he couldn't. It was down inside of him. Down inside of him. I want to ask you tonight. The Bible says in Esther chapter 4 and verse 14, for if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall there be an enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Listen, God has made you the way you are. You just need to surrender to Him to be the vessel that God can use. Listen, God is the potter and He's molded you and He's made you like you are. God wants to use you in some form or some fashion. Whatever it is, God wants to use you to tell someone about Jesus Christ. And you need to have some joy down inside that vessel. Said, how can I? Paul and Silas in prison. The backs been whipped. And at midnight, they begin to have a song service. Can't imagine. Someone said something bad to me. I'm not going to. We need to be a vessel that God can use. We're here for such a time as this. We're here right now as a vessel that God wants to use. God wants to use you and God help us. Say, here I am, Lord. I'm not going to speak back. I'm not going to rebel against you. You made me the way I am. And here I am. You put me where I am. I'm married to this person that I am. I have this family. And God, I want you to use me. I said at the beginning, we learn in increments. What's wrong with a lot of things is our teaching. Our homes, we need to teach our children. We need to teach in increments. We learn. We need to teach about the goodness of God. What a vessel we can be. The hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. God help us to be that mom and that dad. To encourage our children to serve the Lord. God help us to be a vessel that God Almighty can use. Are you a vessel that God can use? Are you that vessel? Allow God to use you. Are you going to turn and say, I'm not going to do that? Are you going to have your life destroyed because you don't want to do what God bids you to do? God help us just to surrender to Him and to be a vessel that God Almighty can use. How about it? Maybe God said some things to you. You know, I could do this, or I can improve in this area of my life. I can serve Him while I'm here. For such a time as this, listen, God's put you here. God's put you at this church. God's placed you in a family, in a home, and you can do some things for God. You are a vessel that God wants to use. Maybe you've been broken. Maybe you've been hurt. See, God can put you together again. I can't do that. The preacher can't do that. But God can put you back together again. He can help you. He cares for you. How about it tonight? Would you say, I'll be the vessel that God can use. I'll be a vessel that God can use. Every head bowed, every eye closed, the preacher comes. Lord, thank you for your goodness to us and your blessings. Lord, no matter what comes our way, help us to be that vessel that you can use. God, we ask tonight for each and every person here at this church to be that vessel that God can use. Lord, help us just to surrender to you. Lord, help us to give it all to you. You're in charge, Lord. Use me the way that you want to use me. God, help me to just be willing. Mold me and make me the way you'd have me to be. God, thank you for your goodness. We ask you to bless in Jesus' precious name. Amen.